Hello and welcome to this Devil's Trident podcast brought to you from the top of the Premier League. Manchester United have done it. They've actually got to the top of the Premier League legitimately. No, none of this joint top stuff that we were peddling the other week. Actual legitimate top by 3 points by beating Burnley 1-0 at Turf Moor tonight. I'm Simon. I'm here with Matt.
Hello.
And I'm also here with James as ever.
Hello.
How are we doing, guys? Happy with that?
Very happy. I'm very happy.
Very happy.
Happy right now.
All right, Carlo Ancelotti over there.
Whose voice are you doing?
Eyebrows and all.
Oh, just very happy. Just being foreign.
It's an offensive Matteo Darmian impression and I don't appreciate it.
My lad, Matteo Darmian.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, how are you feeling, James? Great.
Very, very good. This is what it's all about, isn't it, really? Getting to the top of the league, and who would have thought it? We've been teeing it up for a few weeks now, saying like, oh, it's possible, and we were joint top, but I keep going back to that game against Crystal Palace when we were pretty pants at the start of the season, and it just looked like maybe a trajectory, but look at this, top of the league, I cannot believe it, and of course we go in at Anfield on Sunday, and it's massive, but feeling really good now, feeling really good.
Yeah, this is our 10th episode now, so we've been doing this for a couple of months now, and part of me thought, are we being deluded? Are we getting ahead of ourselves?
What, by starting the podcast?
Yeah. We constantly kept coming. I mentioned it in the preview to this game that we constantly kept coming back to this game in hand. Like we were in the bottom half at one point, but yeah, we had a game in hand. And then we were mid-table looking at the top six, yeah, but we've got a game in hand, so you know we will be in the top six when that game in hand's gone. And there was always a kind of feeling that we were taking that game in hand for granted, as in it was points in the bag, we are done, there's no way we're not beating Burnley away, because it tends to happen, and it did happen, thankfully. But there was always a bit of a sense that, are we just getting ahead of ourselves, are we just taking it for granted? But we've got the points in the bag now. Same games played as Liverpool. And 3 points ahead of them. They've obviously, partly this is to do with other teams slipping up in a way, but we've capitalised for once, and that is just something that we just didn't do last season.
Yeah, and for a few seasons before that as well. It's weird to think that we've actually gone and done it. And we've actually got to the top. God knows how long it'll last. But all we need to do now is just carry on winning. And just focusing on the next game and the next game after that. Just take it a game at a time. And who's to say we can't go all the way? It's just difficult not to get carried away. It is. It's so difficult not to get carried away. But we need to be realistic and focused. And just look at all the other games we've got in front of us as well. As well as the other competitions as well. And just as long as we can just do what we did tonight and just get them results and go into games tactically sound and picking the right teams and rotating, yeah, just we can do it.
It has worked, especially in recent weeks. I can't remember the stat that it got reeled off when we at the end of the game, but I believe it's 15 games unbeaten away from home, something like that. 9 wins out of the last 11. I don't know if that's just league games or what. I can't really remember what's gone before us because we're so giddy. I don't know. I don't think we are getting carried away. I think there is a realism about this. I mean, we could go to Liverpool. We could lose. We don't want that to happen, obviously. And I genuinely don't think we will get turned over the ways that we have in the last few years. But I think we have a right to be. Right to be optimistic and a right to be upbeat. It's been a fair while since we were actual top of the league. I mean, I think we talked about it a few weeks ago and we were speculating when was the last time we were top, and I think we actually spread a little bit of fake news, guys.
Why?
Because we didn't go top when we beat Chelsea 4-0 at the start of last season.
I told you we didn't!
Because City won 5-0 away at West Ham. So you were right.
Thank you.
I did say it was a maybe, though. I didn't say we definitely went top then. I think it might have been, but you were right. You were correct. So the only actual time other than that was kind of the one where we beat Leicester 2-1 at home on the first day of the season. it was a Friday and no one else had played, so that doesn't really count because we were not top the day after. Mm. So you have to go back to 2017, the season we finished second under Jose. And that was early season, September, neck and neck with City. And we snuck ahead of them on goal difference, I think, which is, I think that goes back 40 months, which is a long time to wait to get to just a feeling like this. And we haven't done it under Solskjaer. So it's a big moment.
Yep. Yeah, it's huge and it's very big for Ollie, of course. And it's just, I don't know, football's so funny like that, you know, from one week to the next, seemingly, as we know. And these are the good Solskjaer times, you know. These are the moments where he's living up to his position. He's proving all the doubters wrong. Because, as I keep saying, you know, if he loses and he takes the flak, well, when we win and we're in a good position in the league and we're in the best position in the league that's possible now, mm-hmm. all right, it's worth repeating that, you know, then he needs the plaudits for that.
Yeah.
So we're all Ollie fans on this show, you know, especially now. But it's worth just noting. I mean, yeah, people are dropping points like crazy this season, but you've got to be the person or you've got to be the team that capitalises on that. And we're doing it. It's uncharacteristic of this United team. Well, it was. Maybe yeah. Now it is. Maybe there is something shifting. Maybe there is a change in our sort of fundamentals and all that, and a good team spirit, and we're building towards something, even if it isn't winning the league, just to take us down a peg for a second there, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Got too realistic, but you know, tonight's all about getting carried away. But you know, even if it's not about winning the league, it's about keeping a momentum going. Maybe you finish second, because I mean, all right, even that's getting a bit pie in the sky, but the thing, as we said about last season, was we finished third, and this season you'd hope to you know, to progress. And yeah. The way you do that is you either finish second or you finish first, obviously. And at the moment, we are way on course to do that. And it's about learning what it's like to mount a title charge again. Because it's weird, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners listening. It's very conceivable that a lot of the listeners were quite young, actually, when United, you know, won the league last. I mean, we are talking 2013, so
eight,
I mean,
8 years by the end of this season, so.
Yeah, so, you know, some people out there, I mean, you know, might not have been in, you know, old enough to take
even that. I was early 20s,
yeah,
which
again,
is,
yeah. I was 20.
There's nothing in football fandom age, really, is it?
Yeah, no. So it's really, really interesting, and a lot of years have gone by, so it's almost like sort of remembering what it takes, just us as supporters, really, just knowing the ups and downs of a title charge, and but again, the fundamentals are just turning up and beating what's in front of you.
Yep.
And maybe get into the repetitions like that. And this Burnley team tonight were no mugs. We knew that. And we'll get into all that. But yeah, the defensive strengths. It was just a different challenge for this new United team. You know, quote unquote new, because it keeps evolving. And this is a very likeable team. But you've got to enjoy moments like these. You really do. And it's just, where do we go from here? I don't know. I just wish we'd have not got knocked out in the Champions League.
Yeah.
I started thinking it could have been a near perfect sort of.
That is the one dampener, and we could have. I mean, we came close towards the end. I mean, we fought back in that Leipzig game, but we didn't quite get there. But yeah, other than that, there's not too many blots. I mean, there was the Carabao Cup semi-final, but anybody can lose to City. I think we know that by now, especially when they're coming into form. But either way, Fergie's teams lost semi-finals. Do you know what I mean? It's not unheard of for Manchester United to lose big games and not quite get through these big moments. But it's about being there and being there consistently, which is what we were. And yeah, we need to get over that little hurdle of getting to a final and all that sort of stuff. But we've never been, not never, we've not been anywhere near this sort of level in the league at this stage in the season for a long time. One stat I saw that was floating around today or yesterday was that it's been 7.5 years since United were top beyond New Year's Day in a season. So we've done early season contention where, yeah, there's not a lot of points in it and no one's formed a lead or anything like that. And it can change. You get teams from near the bottom that finish near the bottom. You can get them top for a few weeks, that sort of scenario. But beyond New Year's Day, that's when it becomes a bit more of an actual thing, a bit more, you're in contention a little bit more there, aren't you? And to be here for the first time since Fergie last won it, which is the last time we were top after New Year's Day, is, yeah, you have to tip your hat to Solskjaer, because he's doing something right.
Yeah, 100%. And you can put it down to people not stamping their authority on the league, but we've still done what we need to do. We've still got the points to be top. It's annoying when people say, yeah, well, Liverpool haven't been very good this season, and like City haven't been very good this season. If you take them two games that City have got in reserve, like, to play, they're only 1 point behind us, so they're not miles off.
Yeah, but you're also doing the thing where you assume that games in hand are games won.
Yeah, I know that, but if you were to say even City aren't playing well, but we know that City are back in form. So even if you take that into consideration, we're still ahead. We're still genuinely ahead of a group of all these really good teams.
Two teams that have built up nigh on 100 points each over the last two seasons. Or, I mean, have they both been plus 90 points for the last 2 years? Or it's around that, weren't it? And Liverpool were phenomenal from the latter half of the season before that, even.
Mm.
So to be... And their teams haven't changed too much. I mean, City have not had Aguero as much, and David Silva's gone now, but he's always been getting older for the last few years, obviously.
Well, that's their own fault for not replacing him.
Well, yeah, but
we did that. We put players in there to help us become a title contending team, or
the
possible title contending team, and that's the whole point. If Pep's not going to do anything to push his team forward, and we are, then we need to be given the reward for doing that and not being dismissed as being a team that is not good enough. Well, we can do.
Yeah, the point is that those teams aren't dead in the water teams. They're not teams that are past it either. They are still, like, by all accounts, the teams that got them big massive points totals and won Champions Leagues and won the Premier League, and it's not like they're on the last legs. They are still arguably at the peak of their powers.
Yeah, exactly. But we're above them. Which is...
So right now... Sick. Yep, so right now it's good. You should take the positives. Shall we get to the actual game? Now we've covered a little bit of the surrounding big news of the night. Sure. So he named a pretty strong team. I mean, he obviously changes came at the weekend, and we saw essentially not the reserves at the weekend against Watford, but we saw the fringe players, and he was clearly resting the big guns. Obviously, Maguire came on during that Watford game, and Rashford and Martial got a little bit at the end. But for all intents and purposes, they were all the big guns were rested, weren't they? Oh, actually, Eric Bailly played, didn't he, when he came back in today? But even so, we expected a lot of changes today, and he kind of went with, especially from the midfield onwards, what I thought he would go with. I think Cavani had to come back in. He wanted height, clearly, in the team, because he'd picked Cavani, Matic, Pogba. Bailly's not small. Maguire's not small. I mean, he obviously had a plan, because Burnley posed a threat in the air. In the first 15 minutes, I would say, we did not really have a foothold in this game. With the... In fact, one of my notes is it was hoofball for the first 10. And it kind of was. And we were playing the same sort of game that they were playing, but to a less decent effect, because we had Pogba playing a few balls long and high in the air to Rashford in channels. And it's just, that's not the strength of Marcus Rashford. It's not the strength of Martial. It arguably is a strength of Cavani's, but even still, we're still playing into Burnley's defence's hand, really, aren't we? Because that's just the bread and butter. That's what they're used to dealing with. But I felt that we came into it around the 15-minute mark. There was a Bruno Fernandes free kick from the outside of the box which came in, and nothing major happened from it, but it led to a bit of possession outside the box and a Bruno Fernandes shot that went straight to the keeper. And from that point on, around 15 to 20 minutes in, I felt like we actually got a bit of a hold on the game. I don't know what you thought of the first period, James.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit cagey, and just like you said, there's not really much in it for us. Burnley tend to, for all Burnley's strengths, they tend to sort of bring it down to, say, a bigger team playing sort of at their level, like kind of playing their game, and United, yeah, doesn't suit us in the most part. And so it was a bit difficult, and we knew coming in that, you know, Burnley's strength is sort of organisation at the back, and they can deal with balls in the box pretty much all day because of the physicality. And yeah, Ollie went for the big, you know, it was like almost like a Mourinho selection, you know, the land of the giants again with all the height in that team. It was just sheer height. So
thanks, Jose, for buying all them players at all.
Yeah, of course. And we did what we could, but it just didn't suit us, yeah, in the opening stages. And I just got a really bad feeling about this game, you know. With all the billing, of obviously, clearly it's the elusive game in hand that was going to... I mean, no one took it as a given, but when you've had a game in hand for so many... Was it months or weeks? Because... Feels like months to me with this game in hand.
That game tonight should have been the first game of the season, yeah. So we're now 17 games in, so it's literally, well, almost half a season.
That game
be hanging above us.
Above us like the sword of Damocles. It became so important. And that's even before like our title charge, quote unquote. You know, it was like, no, we need these points because, well, you just need points anyway. You'll take points however you can get them. But when sort of, I mean, geez, you know, the Liverpool-Southampton game, I just happened to be watching that. You know, I didn't change my plans. I just, it was on. I was watching. And my idea was, as soon as Liverpool start winning this game, I'll probably go and do something else. I'm not really interested. But it got, obviously, as we know, very interesting game. And then full-time goes... in that game, and you're thinking, wow, I mean, that Burnley game is massive now. Because, I mean, if it wasn't before, it is now. And to come away with the points is obviously enormous. But, so the opening stages, yeah, just not a lot going on. I just wondered if the best idea was going to be sort of like lumping it into the box and trying to... I mean, Cavani was combative, he's like that. But he got into a bit of trouble, didn't he? Because the referee was not impressed with him. It was this... kind of continental style that didn't really brush well with the Burnley style because he was taking all the scuffles really personally, I thought, and I don't know.
A little bit of friction, weren't there?
There was, and he went, I'm not going to say he went down easily, but those kind of elbows to the face, in Burnley, that's like a cordial greeting. So I think he learned quickly on the job.
Well, it is now, I suppose. You have to greet everybody with your elbow now, so. They're just taking it really seriously, yeah. Yeah, the opening stages didn't bring a lot for us. But we did have a few chances. I think everybody probably got excited with the Martial overhead kick, which would have been...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they see many overhead kick goals at Turf Moor.
No, but it was that got us all very excited and off our seats.
But the first half kind of really kicked off with the VAR gate, which... took a while to I can see James's face is ready to say something about this, so
I'll let Matt speak though.
Do you have anything to say about the VAR thing?
Yeah, James's point. What I will say is I'm totally confused about what Gary Neville was seeing on commentary for that.
No, yeah.
Luke Shaw gets the ball first. He gets
surely,
the ball.
He surely does, doesn't he?
Like, you can see the ball like it goes up against... who was it? Who were they fouled?
Johnson, I think.
Johnson. You can see the ball it starts picking up pace again once it hits his foot and hits his shin.
Yeah, his studs roll over the top of the ball, don't they? And you can see it move, which may be why it fooled people into thinking that Shaw didn't get anything of it, because he kind of went a little bit over the ball in a way. But, yeah, to me it was clear that the ball... ruled, but then...
Then you take into it, it's a 50-50 challenge then.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a clash, and there's going to be someone who's going to come off probably worse than the other person. And that's all it was for me.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing about it for me is that Luke Shaw looks like he tries to divert his leg. After he's touched the ball, looks like he tries to divert his leg to the left and catches the player. I don't necessarily think... he's done that on purpose to hurt the player, but maybe he's tried to, you know, get the ball a second time and just just missed.
Well, that's the whole point of defending, isn't it?
But he has caught him in that respect. But he did touch the ball first. It wasn't like he went over the ball and just got the mad and that was it.
Yeah, I think there's been occasions in the Premier League where that people have got red cards for stuff like that in earlier season. But the difference is Luke Shaw actually got to touch the ball.
Yeah, so it was strange that I can see why there was a eventual yellow for Shaw and why it got given eventually as a free kick to Burnley, but it took a long time to decide, didn't it? And we got particular grievance with the amount of time that it took.
Well, yeah, I mean, there were two instances, and it's not really worth mentioning the other instance because they were sort of in the same passage of play. So you had the Shaw one that led directly to Cavani being through on goal. There's not, like I said, there's not much point talking about it because it was irrelevant in the end. But it does feed into the first instance because it sort of meant that both of them had to be looked at by VAR. So, of course, the referee sort of weighed it up in his mind. Clearly, he let the play go on until you know, he was dissatisfied, so he goes back. But then, so he goes to the screen eventually. But we tallied it up, and I just, you know, well, we were all sort of just, we're waiting, aren't we? We're waiting, and the players are waiting. No one quite knows, you know, whether we're up or down. We don't know, yeah, whether which way around everything is.
Yeah,
I mean, you just got to wait. If in Stockley Park, if they see something that no one else does, then wow, okay, you know. And
it was the fact that they were switching from one replay to the next all the time, and it even went from when he went over to the monitor, it showed Luke Shaw's foul, and then it bypassed that and went to the Brady foul.
Yeah,
as if the ref has looked at the VAR screen and dismissed the Shaw foul.
That's it.
And then thought, right, well, is it a red for him being through on goal?
Yeah.
But then he comes back and it's actually Shaw that he punishes. Go on.
Which was weird. I mean, yeah, it was a bit of a swerve, really, that. You know, it's like an old school swerve because it's like, well, okay, he's looked at that and he looked for ages and we all did. We saw multiple replays and Gary Neville, of course, at this moment in time, he likes saying at this moment in time, but, you know, at that moment in time, time stood still and it was just completely confusing. But, okay, so my opinion, I think I'd agree with you guys. I think Shaw did. It's pretty clear, isn't it, that Shaw got a touch on the ball. The ball does a revolution, if you want to call it that, and it clearly, you know, it goes off to a side. And it's the follow-through that looked a little unsavoury, but of course it will look unsavoury at, like, minus 100 speed.
Yeah.
Everything would. Putting a beer can down on the floor will look really aggressive at 100. We could talk about that till the cows come on. But the point I was going to make, really, is that I had a funny feeling that I've been watching games, you know, week in, week out, and there's been a big VAR, fiasco like this, and back to the screen, back, cards getting overturned and then changed again, that kind of thing. And then you notice at the end of the half, there's like a minute of added time. And I'm thinking, that's weird, because clearly I've been, you know, the game's been stopped for like 4 minutes while they've gone and faffed about and made sure the correct decision's been made and stuff. And Simon, you timed this, I believe?
Just as a matter of course, I always take notes during the game and note down the minutes just so we know what we're talking about in this podcast. And the cynical foul was the 26th or 27th minute. And by the time we were going again, it was 6 minutes later.
There you go. That's it.
And by the time the free kick was taken, it was 6 minutes later. But, yeah, we have 4 minutes of injury time.
Yeah, which to me is completely baffling.
And no other incidents between them at all.
Well, that's it.
No cause for adding any other extra time at all, which we know happened.
Yes, well, yes, there was, because Harry Maguire had a goal disallowed. And that's another controversy. It didn't take as long to come to a decision. But let's say it was
easy,
30 seconds, minute, something like that. So there you are, yeah, again. And all these things stack up at the end of the day. Like, that's only the first half. If you had similar sorts of instances in the second half, you're chopping 7, 8, 9 minutes off a game. That, how important is that, especially if someone's looking for a goal?
That's it. And I think if you're going to go in with a VAR way of looking at things, which is very much a sort of, well, it's
accuracy.
Meant to be, yeah, like definitive, we have got the decision to the nth degree, is Bootlace's offside, so this is not a goal type way of looking at football. Well, okay then. So we had to adjust to that. Fine, I guess. I mean, if you get it right, it's irritating. Personally, I'm not a big VAR fan at all. I quite like it when I'm watching an FA Cup game in the earlier rounds and there's no VAR, because you kind of, it's a throwback to, you know, and you just watch a game flow, and if there's a mistake,
simpler times,
yeah, and if the ref makes a mistake, well, it's a bit of a shame, but whatever, and we've got to get on with it. But anyway, the point I'm making is, you know, do we sort of then, is the next step from that like a rugby way of doing the timings where, you know, where the time just freezes and then, you know, the referee can sort of stop his watch and it's not...
It seems fairer, doesn't it, really, but...
Yeah, because how much time-wasting would you stop and all that? You know, if the ref's like, look, literally frozen the... You can lie there all you like, but until I press my magic watch, it's like Bernard's watch or whatever, then you can, you know... But I don't know. I don't know
Kevin
if that's...
Friend's watch.
Kevin Friend's watch, yeah. The Queen's nose.
What do we think? The demon headmaster.
Oh, the 90s.
So he's got his, yeah, he's got his demon headmaster coin for doing the coin toss, yeah.
Well.
And he's got his Kevin Friend's watch, yeah. So what do we think of the Maguire goal being disallowed? For me, that's soft. I mean, there must be countless headers goals over the years, even recent years, that have been given with that minimal amount of contact that Maguire made. I don't think he... I mean, he has to jump with his hands in some way. He can't rise like a fucking salmon with his arms by his... I know that salmon don't have arms, but you know. Do you know what I mean? He can't just...
I see a salmon with arms.
With that really long, floppy arms.
Connor Salmon that used to play for Wigan.
Would they have really long arms or really short arms, like a T-Rex, would you reckon?
Flapping around.
Like big, long, flappy ones.
Big longies, yeah.
Like ones that are actually longer than its body.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing then, yeah. Some sort of Mighty Boosh style fucking...
Like Mr. Tickle.
Oh, Bo Selector thing,
arms.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mick Ucknall arms, yeah.
Ucknall arms.
Did you guys ever see Connor Salmon score a header for Wigan? And he leapt like a... Well, Connor. Moving on.
Like, yeah. A Mick Ucknall.
Yeah. Big chap called Connor Salmon. Gosh knows where he is now, but darn it, I can't remember. But no, sorry, yeah, back to...
Two, I'm going to guess. Go on. Anyway, did you think it was a foul, personally?
No. I think in a physical game like this, though, I think most things like that are going to be looked at more under a bit more scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a physical game. You know that with Burnley. It's going to be a physical game. And I think that the ref kind of had that in his head that, especially after the stuff we've had with the other VAR incidents, that it kind of just...
It's all played in with each other.
Yeah, I just think a lot of it, with the amount that was happening, you knew there was going to be a lot of... Not controversial stuff, but you know there's going to be some things that are going to have to be looked at again and made sure that you probably weren't going to get away with a lot of stuff. It was the kind of game you could 100% guarantee that, well, it didn't happen, but there'd be something like a handball happen, or there'll be like a really weird challenge happening in the box and someone's going to get a penalty for it. It just seemed like one of them kind of games. And unfortunately, it went against us, really, this way, because Harry scored a really, really good goal and sent Ben Mee into next week, flying through the net.
Good job there was a net in there, actually.
Which was fantastic. It was well good. But, yeah, it was just a shame because it's a really well taken goal and Harry didn't get it. And moments before that, James had said that Harry needed to put his authority on this and get a header, and he did, didn't he?
Yes, but I'm just so furious that it didn't count, because I've had this thought for the past couple of weeks, really, that I think we all share. Maguire, we're seeing it more and more. He's getting on the end of these crosses, weirdly, by Luke Shaw, who's become a delivery expert the past year.
Yes, yeah.
Better than Amazon Prime at the minute, you know. Other services are available. But Shaw's putting these deliveries on a sixpence, right? And then Maguire is leaping above everybody else, but he's getting like underneath the ball and it's going over the bar. So invariably you'd think, well, one of these has got to find the back of the net. And yeah, it was like 30 seconds before I sort of said, like, Maguire's just got to, come on, at a set piece, command the... It's one of those things about you could say being a captain, being a leader, being this, but just he's just a big dude with a massive head. Like, look, if the ball's in the right... Getting back to basics, you know, if the ball's in the right place, just Maguire, just dominate. But by dominating in this instance, yeah, obviously jumped with a hand out. But I just think, was it Eric Peters that went down?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You know, I'm not even going to say that Eric Peters dived or anything like that. Nothing sort of like, no foul play, but
just, I think he's clever.
Gone down. Yeah, like he's leaned in. And you can always tell by the sort of the initial reaction when the ball hits the net. Hilariously, because Ben Mee went jumping after it, almost valiantly clearing it. But when Peters hits the deck, right, and he's been fouled, quote-unquote, he's watching the ball go in the net, and he sort of, like, I think he, like, slams the ground and goes, oh, no, or, you know, yeah, for gosh's sake, or words to that effect. He's not going, ref, 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 look, I've been done here. He's sort of being like, ah, oh, I should have been taller. I should have got there.
Should have been a baller.
But oh, Maguire's header went right.
Shouldn't have been ducking.
Yeah, could have been a contender, yeah. But Maguire certainly was a contender in that, and he...
Yeah.
It should have stood. I think that it's unfair. And what's also unfair, I don't want to get on my high horse about VAR, but the... So,
saddle up.
I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Yeah, my neck's going and everything. I'm leaning into it.
Buckle up, kids. We're going for a ride.
No, the thing about that is that... So it's got to be like 2020 and 2021 have kind of been the golden eras for the phrase clear and obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So are you telling me, because I kind of freaked out for a minute there. I saw the goal. It should have been a goal. I saw the ball hit the back of the net and I had my doubts. I thought, ooh, hang on. You know, in a VAR world, they might rule that out. VAR was not involved, I believe. He just went, nope.
I don't know. Was it?
Because next thing you know, I don't think they did. I mean, Tell us if we're wrong, listeners. But, you know, because straight away, they were up attacking us.
Yeah.
And
it did happen pretty quickly, didn't it?
I might be wrong.
Yeah, but I can still tell him.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, but they can still tell. Yeah, but they're supposed to be, aren't they? They've been watching it as it happens, and they'll be like, nah, it's foul, yeah, that. Carry on,
goal, shouldn't it? Essentially, I mean, yeah, you know.
It is, but, like, they must have realised, there mustn't have been anything for them to be like, that's...
We
need to have a further look at it.
I don't think we ever got to the point where the players all ran over and were celebrating, though, did they?
Maguire was knee sliding, apparently.
I've seen the image of him.
I told the goal didn't count and he had to get up again.
Knee sliding like a 9-year-old at a christening.
I might be wrong about that. I saw it on Twitter. It just said, never before have I seen a player mid-knee slide be told a goal didn't count. And it might have been the Everton game, though. Because there were two games side by side, weren't there? So I might take that back. But no, it just felt like if VAR looked at it, there was nowhere near the amount of scrutiny that you'd see on. I mean, there's loads of good. Just where we've seen loads where there might have been a little shove in the box, for instance, from a corner for anything.
Maguire gets done for it a lot.
Yeah, but it seems like they look at it frame by frame by frame, and we see it on the screen, and we get to look at it again. It doesn't matter that we get to see it again because we can't influence it, but. It seems to sort of stop the game in its tracks, but that didn't. It was almost as if the referee just went, no goal. Or the linesman flagged or something like that, and they went, yeah, play on. Because Burnley seemed to be attacking us pretty early on, I remember, because I didn't even have time to be furious. I was like, there we go. But anyway, no, that was just a minor point. I just thought if VAR, that's the thing, clear and obvious. It's like they only look at something if it's clear and obvious. Or not clear and obvious, I'm not quite sure, but
yeah,
whatever. The point is, Maguire did not score, and I was certain that he had scored, but there you go.
It would have been a real captain's goal.
Oh, indeed.
Other than that, first half-wise, after that mad about 15 minutes of VAR nonsense and everything being looked at and disallowed goals, there was a Martial effort, which, again, I will coin the phrase, classic Martial. That where he bends it from the left-hand side and tries to arc it round to the far corner. Good save from Nick Pope.
Very good save.
But yeah, decent effort from Martial. And I think in a little bit the same way as Greenwood was, or maybe still is, really keen to get goals under his belt, you know, to put any poor form or anything aside. I think Martial's kind of on that sort of run at the moment where he just needs a few goals, a few successive goals, of, you know, a good run of games where he's scoring just to break the duck a little bit, even though he's not necessarily in a goal drought, but I think he just needs a few goals and he's searching for it any which way he can.
I think there's a lot of players in the team who are kind of suffering from that. I feel like we've had a lot more goal scorers from different, like we've had loads of different goal scorers as opposed to last season. We had just like our front three getting like the bulk of goals as well as Bruno.
Yeah.
So it's good that we're getting goals from different places because that's a good sign of a winning team and a good squad that can find goals when we need it. And obviously it happened for us tonight. So yeah, there's a reason why Martial is still getting in the lineup, and we know that now because he does contribute a lot going forward, even if it's not goals all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll have a little break now and then we'll come back and talk about the action in the second half when United did score, and we'll have a quick look ahead to the big game on Sunday. See you after the break. Hello, it's Simon again. I'm just here to quickly tell you listeners where to find us on social media. We're The Devil's Trident on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Devil's Trident. You can also keep up to date with us at thedevilstrident.com. Okay, on with the show. Okay, welcome back. Let's get into the second half. A second half with maybe less controversy than the first half, thankfully. Less VAR action anyway. But more goals. One goal. And also a few chances for Edinson Cavani in the first bit of the second half. Well, the first half of the second half. We started strong in the second half. We started quickly. And we're creating a lot of chances. Solskjaer has obviously said something at halftime to G them up and try to get them playing their own game rather than trying to mimic Burnley's at times like we were doing in the first half. And we just looked dangerous from the outset.
Yeah, they did. It was good to see after the slow start of the first half. So. It was just frustrating because it just felt like we were still really struggling to break them down. But there was a few chances, like I said, that Cavani had, and it was just a bit unlucky to not get on the end of some of them.
Yes.
And put them away. I know one of the ones we're talking about was the one where Martial took it off him, essentially.
Yeah. So before that, there was a Cavani chance that came from Paul Pogba breaking through from midfield where he showed his strength.
Oh, yeah.
And shook two or three players off at one point and then just fed it into Bruno. And then, yeah, Cavani just essentially snatched at it. I think it took a little nick and kind of went out of his path and ended up being missed from that. And then, yeah, Martial took one off his foot. Well, it looked like he took it off his foot a little bit, didn't it? It was heading towards him.
Yeah, I think
around the similar sort of area, essentially where you want Cavani to be, middle of the goal, middle of the penalty area, ready for any chance like that. And he was doing his job, but maybe there's a little bit of rustiness there. I mean, he hasn't played for 2 weeks now with that ban.
Mm.
And maybe there was an element of that tonight. I know that you wanted him to score because Matt's bet club.
Yep.
You hadn't scored, didn't you? But
I did.
And a few other things came in for you, actually.
It did, yeah. This came very, very close to before. This time I had Cavani to score at any point, Luke Shaw to get booked at any point. Tick, big old tick. Both teams to score, no. United tick. To win. And tick. Over eight corners. And there was,
tick.
No, there were seven corners, I think.
All right, well. Seems like a lot in the first half, though.
You know, it was supposed to be... No, it was over seven corners, and I think we got seven corners. So I was one corner away from another big old tick. And obviously Cavani getting a goal, but wasn't to be, unfortunately.
No, I just never felt like he was going to score tonight, personally. I just felt there was a bit of rustiness. I don't know what you thought, James, on that.
Well, I think it's one of those things because looking at a striker like Cavani, and especially... an away ground like Turf Moor. And sometimes you kind of come away from it after the fact thinking, okay, well, it maybe wasn't Cavani's venue. It wasn't really a game for Cavani. But by no stretch did I think he had a bad game.
No, I don't think he had a bad game. Some
of that link-up play was amazing. I mean, I know we're not trying to imply he had a bad game, but I'm just, it wasn't really working for him in terms of he didn't get on the goal, on the score sheet, and he's been actually quite good, you know, in that department recently before his ban. But some of that link-up play was absolutely first class, and some of them touches, it's a really low percentage sort of pass that he tries. It's like outside of the foot and it's chipped a little bit.
Yeah.
But more often than not, he manages to find exactly who he's aiming for, and that's just a cultured striker, isn't it? That's a really, you know, consummate pro, and I'm saying nothing new about Cavani that we've not said on the podcast before, but it's been around the block, and he knows, he's very streetwise, and
good awareness, hasn't he, of what. I think I know the pass here particularly.
I can visualise it, yeah.
Yeah, referencing, he had, kind of had his back to goal and just sprayed it out to the left, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So he, but then you're thinking, well, yeah, no, because he had that, and he brought other players around him into play. But you're just thinking, try and have someone like Cavani, who's combative in the air, very good with his head, as we've seen recently. Whether it's low down or high, you know, he can jump for a ball. Just kind of pit his wits against these Burnley centre backs. Just trying to get a ball in there, see if he can attack it. Just didn't really get him a goal, did it?
No, definitely the right selection though for the game. I mean,
yeah, I thought so going in. It was a very strong lineup, wasn't it?
Yeah, and yeah, you would want Cavani out of all of our strikers playing through the middle against two centre backs like Tarkowski and Benmi. You would want Cavani to be the one to be challenging with them and, you know, matching them for maybe rough. No, I'm not saying Benmi and Tarkowski are only defenders that rough you up and that sort of style, but generally, Burnley, you expect a bit of a scrap, don't you? And I think Cavani is your man for that. I mean, maybe it's partly to do with Rashford not having the best of games out on the right tonight. Everything he tried was just a little bit short of the mark. Every pass was just... Not every pass, obviously, because we'll come to it. He did put a good pass in that contributed heavily. But yeah, just some of his crosses from the right didn't quite hit the mark and he mishit them. And I felt like he maybe got a little bit frustrated with himself and just kind of knew that it was one of those nights. And he'd never give up, obviously, but he seemed to be aware of that it wasn't quite going for him and maybe got a bit down on that. But things did turn and he did contribute and he did end up with an assist and a nice ball to Paul Pogba. And it was around the 70-minute mark, and that's the time where you start maybe getting worried. Is it going to be one of those days? Are we not going to break through? Because obviously we had the Cavani chances that didn't quite come off, and you're wondering, is there a change to be made? Do you bring Greenwood on? Do you move Martial down the centre and flip Rashford over to the left, where he'd probably be more comfortable? That was something that we were speculating in our chat, at least. And the goal actually came before then, with Rashford from the right and a good ball into Pogba. And I think from first glance we thought, wow, what a volley. But obviously it took a little bit of a deflection and maybe was going to hit the keeper, possibly. But a bit of luck is what you need to win these games.
Yeah, it's true. Rashford's ball in was really, really well. Nice little floated cross. And as soon as it come over and we saw how well Pogba struck it, you're like, wow, yeah, this is going in this. And there was a slight deflection, but you know what? I think with the projection of the way we're going, I think it might have just snuck under Pope.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Because Pope, it did go through his legs, which is obviously a bit unfortunate for him, but it didn't take that much of a deflection, so I think it might have, if Pope would have got anything to it, he might have just got a full-blown bit of dick to it. if anything.
Might have got a little Pope to it.
He might have got a Pope Junior. Sir Paul the Fifth or something.
How many has he got?
I don't know. But he might have named
it. Right,
no, he's named after the Pope, obviously. So yeah, I think it probably still would have gone in regardless.
Yeah.
Because he did hit it with quite a bit of pace as well. But yeah, the tiny bit of luck went our way, thankfully, finally, because nothing seemed to be, all these little deflections and like
half chances,
yeah, they were all, none of them were going our way, so we definitely needed that after the first half and the few little frustrating things in the second half. So Paul Pogba, man of the match, and got a fantastic goal. So
yeah, he seemed really into it as well tonight, and I know that's a strange thing to pinpoint, but we've obviously had the speculation that he doesn't want to be here anymore. I think we speculated ourselves how interested he is and what his reasons for being interested when he is. But he genuinely looked part of the cause there. I mean, especially towards the end where the game wasn't even over, and I think we just survived a free kick or a corner or something like that, and he was giving it some to a non-existent crowd. You know, and that's a nice sign and something good to see. And yeah, happy with him tonight.
Yeah,
man of the match performance.
Pogba was very, very good. Yeah, and it's one of those things we alluded to the lineup being big, like Land of the Giants again. But realistically, when you are at Turf Moor against this Burnley team, which we keep saying, it's strong and physical and stuff, you need people like Paul Pogba to maybe be less... So you want both sides of it. You want like the delicate side to his game that he's got, but he stood up and he was really physical himself, and we know he can hold people off with his back to them and shield the ball really well. And there's a few instances, really, really good instance where he turned somebody and he sort of like play. I don't know, like it looked like he was going to lose the ball, but then he has these like enormous legs as well, doesn't he? So he's able to put himself in the way of the ball, in between the ball and the player, and then he bursts forward. And it's these little bursts that we like. And of course, the build up to his own the goal that he scored. You know, he was integral to that too. It was like he had to be really strong in a challenge. The key thing with playing against Burnley is to be strong, it seems.
Yeah.
You know, and he clearly was. And it was on message as well tonight as well. It was less about doing little fancy things he wanted to do. It was a very, because it was alluded to in the post match comments by the pundits, you know, Sky, saying like Fernandez, you know, maybe not one of his best games tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you've got someone like Pogba that can step in and be like, well, I'll tell you what, it's my turn to be man of the match. How about that?
Yeah.
And he did. He I can't remember precisely what happened, but he sort of...
He won a header.
Yes.
And then it came down to Bruno, and Bruno put it down.
That's right.
To
Rashford. And I remember thinking in that instance, we're going to have to try something different, because at that point, we were mostly lumping it into the box. I said lumping, but we were playing it into the box, and then it was kind of getting dealt with. And when Rashford picked it up, I remember thinking, we just need to sort of, I don't know, if we, maybe play it along the floor, something like that. But Rashford, as Matt said, yeah, he picked out a wonderful sort of, he clearly, you know, he hesitated, which isn't always a bad thing, because he hesitated, he waited for the right player to be available, and that was Captain Pogba, not the captain, of course, I don't know why I said captain, but that was the right player arrived, which was Pogba, Mr. Paul Pogba Esquire, and he met it on the volley, maybe not as clean as we initially thought, but yeah, there it is. And like you say, deflection, and it went in. Nick Pope didn't get his little nicky to it. Keep it out. But big moment, yeah. And it, you sort of had that feeling, not to be disrespectful to Burnley, but you kind of thought, okay, United, I think it was all about United breaking through. If United broke through, okay, then we're probably going to win the game.
Yeah.
I just thought, it was early doors, I thought it was going to be one of these nights where it's probably not going to come, you know, if we're not careful, and maybe we can get caught out, I don't know, but you've seen it so many times. But like I keep saying, not this team as it stands, as Gary Neville says, at this moment in time, this team here, they're winning these games. So it's really exciting. But yeah, the Pogba goal, massive for Pogba as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he stays or he goes, we don't know, do we? But like, I think it was Matt that said himself, you know, if Pogba puts in the performances until the rest of the season and we do well, we don't know how good well is yet, but, you know, if we, listen, let's just say, like we have a good season, you know, and we have a good end to the season, and Pogba just sort of slowly walks out the door for a bit of a fee. Well, okay, thanks, Paul, thanks for coming. But the importance is him applying himself, and he really did tonight. It was good. Yeah, good performance.
If he wants that price tag and he wants people to see that he's a good player, he's putting in the performances to make himself be want to be bought again.
This is what we said around the time. I think it may have been me that said it, that we could be in the position where he plays well for the rest of the season and gets used for the rest of the season and puts his value back up again.
Mm.
And that's kind of happening. I mean, his value, say, 10, 12 weeks ago will have been a lot lower than the value Paul Pogba should be. But now we're seeing it's going to be creeping up and creeping up. And it's not going to be January when he leaves, obviously. We're in January and he's not leaving partway for his season, but come the summer, how much could Paul Pogba be worth again at this rate? It's going to be closer to what we bought him for compared to 3 months ago. So does it come to fruition that we do end up losing him when he's actually a really big asset to us? Possibly. But I think, like we all said, if he goes and we've achieved stuff, you know, we'll wave him off and thank him. And it'll be a much better way to end the story, wouldn't it, than the sourness that has emerged every now and again through Raiola. But
yeah, imagine if we win something with him, like a decent trophy. Like I'm talking more like the league or the FA Cup here. If we win one of them, I know he's won the Europa League, which is great. And if we could do it again, yeah, fantastic. But like FA Cup or the league are two like really good trophies, and if he manages to win one of them with us, then yeah, I think he can look back at his time and be like, well, at least I accomplished something here.
Yeah,
it's a means to an end, yeah, isn't it really? And I think the league is paramount, and it's not to get carried away, but you know, this is the whole thing, isn't it? Tonight we have become top of the league. We've climbed.
We are the champions.
Yeah, that's it. We've won it. Thank you very much. Thanks for everyone for coming. We are the champions.
If COVID gets worse, the season will get cancelled and we'll be...
Stop the count. Yeah.
Donald Trump election.
Yeah. Anyway, beyond Pogba, I think we saw out the game reasonably well. And by that, I mean from 70 minutes on, I don't have many notes in which to call upon in the big action points are happening, but there's a lot of Burnley pressure for maybe the last 5-10 where we were hanging on a little bit. Luke Shaw had a clash of heads, and there was a handball check against Harry Maguire, which wasn't a handball, was it?
No.
And wasn't given. But other than that, other than a bit of frantic goal mouth action from just Burnley, just getting free kicks outside the box and corners and stuff like that, we saw out the game reasonably well. Not as comfortably as he'd like, and it could have been more comfortable if Martial had scored when he got put through, but ended up hobbling off, which is the two worries to take from the end of this game, really. Martial, will he be fit for Liverpool? And to a lesser degree, Nemanja Matic, because I don't think Matic would be starting against Liverpool anyway, with the fact that Fred and McTominay have essentially sat tonight out. I think that is very much planned, that he was going to use Pogba and Matic tonight, and it will be the other midfield for the big game. I still think Pogba will actually retain his place, actually, to be honest, but not without Fred or McTominay. So, should we get to the Liverpool game and what we've set up with tonight's win against Burnley?
Yeah, I'd just like to add one more thing. I think Eric Bailly was very good tonight.
He was.
My hero, Eric Bailly.
He has been very good for weeks now. In fact, during the game, we had a little bit of a chat about how well Bailly and Maguire complemented each other. And before this gets clipped up, I don't know if you clip up podcasts, but if it gets clipped up.
I wouldn't be surprised what anyone would do on the
internet. No.
Just clip it up.
There's a little bit of the similar sort of relationship and dynamic that Vidic and Ferdinand had with Bailly and Maguire, in the sense that you will have one that's good in the air and will go and attack things, i.e. Maguire, and you will have one that can sweep up, recover, use pace, and generally just cover him, which would be Bailly. I mean, it was the opposite way around with Vidic, in that Vidic was the fucking mad one and Rio was the more calm and composed one, which would arguably be Maguire in this situation. But still, there's a little bit of that, and whereas Lindelof and Maguire maybe are too similar at times and maybe don't recover when stuff goes in and when stuff goes over the heads and Maguire don't quite win a header. You know, we're struggling a little bit, but Bailly has absolutely complimented Maguire brilliantly, and it's made Maguire look better the last few weeks and more what you would expect from Maguire, I thought, anyway.
Yeah, and just Bailly's ability to block things, like his body shape for blocks just seems perfect pretty much every time. I don't want to jinx it, but, you know, especially a night like tonight, they got a couple of shots off and he was there sort of in the way, and that block against Aston Villa a few weeks back was exemplary, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a bravery to his game that I think Maguire is pretty... It's similar in that sort of way, but...
But I just don't think Maguire is anywhere near as flexible.
No,
he's got opposable limbs, like an action figure. You can bend over his head and everything. So, but I just thought I'd say that. Bailly was... It's important to have him in this team going forward.
Definitely.
God forbid he stays fit.
God forbid he stays fit.
God forbid, sorry.
God forbid he...
God forbid he gets injured.
Liverpool fan over here. God forbid he gets injured, yeah. We need him going forward, definitely.
So what do you think we're going to do against Liverpool then? I mean... Should we take it? I mean, we've not heard the press conference afterwards. We've not heard if Solskjaer said anything about Martial. So this could be out of date pretty quickly. I'm going to assume that it's not so serious that he sits it out. I think from the looks of it, I think he's maybe just tweaked something. But I think if he's ready, I think he'll play him personally. But what sort of approach are we expecting against Liverpool? Can I just remind us of the team that we used last time we played against Liverpool at Anfield? Are you ready?
Oh, I'll go for it. Yeah, I'm excited.
I've got it screenshotted from the Devil's Trident Instagram page at the Devil's Trident for future reference.
Plug much.
Although I've already plugged us during the break anyway. But so defence wise, we had De Gea in net, and we played back 3/back 5 that day, which I have a sneaking suspicion I'll do again personally. But we have Wan-Bissaka right wing back, Lindelof, Maguire and Shaw as left centre back, and Williams as left wing back, which you can imagine Telles could do as well. But we've also got the option of Bailly at centre back now as well, who was on the bench that day. We've also got Twenzebe. So, you know, plenty of options to do the back three and wing backs. But the rest of the lineup was Fred and Matic in central midfield, Andreas Pereira, Dan James.
Who the hell was that?
And Anthony Martial. That made up our 11. I mean, there's definitely two weak links in there. Williams was doing well at the time and did all right at the weekend, but. You know, I think we've got stronger now, and I think the team that he plays on Sunday will be worlds apart from that.
Yeah, agreed. We do like to do that, the three at the back with the wing backs against the big team. So it wouldn't surprise me if it went something like that again. But who are you going to play? Who are we having in the middle then? Are we having Shaw? Or are we having Lindelof?
I think that there's options there, and he does seem to trust Luke Shaw. Like, implicitly.
Yeah, but does he trust Luke Shaw going forward more than he does in defensive work?
I think he's been pleased with his forward input of late.
So would you not have him as a wing back?
I think Telles
being in the middle.
I think Telles is more of an outlet, isn't he, as a wing back. So, but I don't see him dropping Luke Shaw. I mean, I also don't know if Lindelof got left out tonight, because he wasn't in the squad at all tonight. And he's had a back problem. I don't know if he got left out as a precaution or if it's just flared up again and he won't be available. So maybe it would be the case that it'd be Bailly, Maguire and Shaw as a back three. Wan-Bissaka as a right wing back and Telles as left wing back. And then surely Fred and McTominay as your central two. Mm. With Bruno in front. And then two strikers, which there's four to choose from.
You'd think he'd go with Rashford and Martial, wouldn't you, really?
I think...
If Martial's fit, just put him in some of them leg cast thing that they do, like Scotty was in last week, and
seems to make everyone feel better. Just give him some new legs.
Does it treat hamstring injuries?
It does, yeah. Yeah, it gives you new legs. That's what it does. It gives you fresher ones.
Revitaleg.
Revitaleg. That's what it's called, Revitaleg. Yeah. Yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me if they offer something like that, but I don't think he's going to play Tellez.
No?
No, I don't think he's going to Tellez.
I think he'll go Shaw. Do you think it'll be a back three, then?
Yes, I'm going for a back three, yeah. Possibly Twan Zaber, though.
Were in the
three.
In the three.
Yeah.
Yeah. James, would you go for the back three and wing backs, or would you kind of stick to what has been working? I mean, what we've been doing recently has worked. I can't remember the last time we did the back three.
It's really, really, it's hard to think about, because what we've been doing recently has worked and it's bared fruit for us, but we've not played Liverpool.
No.
And I get the kind of feeling that, you know, one of the most perfect United performances I've seen recently was the one away at PSG.
Mm-hmm.
Against, you know, high caliber attackers that you knew, like, right, everyone's got to be on, well, the top of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are, we might win. Because PSG, I don't particularly like them. And like we said on the podcast, they're a bit of an enemy of United at the moment. There's a bit of rivalry. There's a bit of a bite where every time we play each other, and the Di Maria factor and all of that. So, but they are good. I mean, they have a wealth of attacking talent. So it just was one of those things. If everyone switched on, has a really, really good game, like a 7 or 8 out of 10, we can come away with a result. And we did. And everyone was so, so good that day. Albeit they only scored an own goal. Well, you know what I mean? Like, we scored an own goal for them. And that formation was pretty much that, like three at the back, wasn't it? But then doubled up as a five at the back, depends how you know, with wing backs. But you did have Tellez that day. It was his debut, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so.
And he, you know, put some really fierce balls in there. Liverpool aren't PSG, we know that. So it's not exactly like it's going to be one and the same. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe, and this isn't necessarily what I want, but I'm just thinking maybe Solskjaer goes for that kind of approach, and he has the... Because I think the way that he approached the Leeds game, so you have the... We know like that when it comes to a team he thinks are going to attack us, then you get your McFred in him.
McFred, yeah.
Yeah. So those two are your shields, aren't they? And then I suppose, yeah, from that you've got the forward line. Maybe you could interchange if Martial's not feeling very well. Then you've got Mason Greenwood could step in instead. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe have more of an impact on the game than Martial would. It depends.
Mm.
But we know that Liverpool haven't got their sort of first-choice defenders as well, which could, you know, definitely play into our hands. They're there to be got at this season in terms of more teams are scoring against them than usual. So maybe it's not a case of let's... But I think, without being totally Mourinho about it, you know, you build, you make yourself, coming up against attackers like that, you shore yourself up. No pun intended. But you make sure... It's too many shores here. But, you know, you just try not to concede too many goals, at least. I mean, because it's one of those. We don't want to play like a Leeds-type game where we just go full at them and then leave ourselves open. But if you're asking me about formation, yeah, I'm torn between. I don't know, because the blueprint for that PSG game might apply itself to a kind of Liverpool-esque game. Because that City game, you could argue both teams sort of didn't want to lose.
Yeah.
It kind of was a bit static like that. But Ole Solskjaer has played against Liverpool before, obviously, as we know, you know, in terms of he set a team up to play against them, and you just reeled it off, and it was a bit like a who's who of who's not there anymore in certain... But Phil Jones played centre-back, didn't he?
I think. No.
Was that last time at Old Trafford?
That was the Burnley game.
Oh, sorry, yeah, of course. Yeah, what am I doing? Yeah, right. But I don't know. But I'd like to see us, McTominay and Fred, because they're pretty solid there, aren't they? And you never quite know what you're getting from McTominay. He might, like, attack, you know, contribute to our attacking play.
He might score a hat-trick in the first 5 minutes.
You never know.
You just never know. No, I've just contradicted myself in saying that I felt Pog would play, though. I don't think he fits into a...
Oh, no, but...
three at the back and wing-backs with Fred and McTominay. I don't know how you fit a Pogba in there without dropping Bruno, and that's not happening. So
does McTominay play then?
I don't know. I can't see any way that he doesn't play Fred and McTominay.
See, that's a bit of a...
Maybe he sticks with the formation that has worked for us. Maybe he sticks before at the back and does the sort of kind of diamond when we're defending and Pogba on the left when we're going forward. And I think it's going to depend on Martial's fitness, to be fair.
Cause
I think a lot of it.
Sorry to interrupt, but if you're Pogba there, knowing the situation that he's in, and we know he's a bit of fragile of mind, maybe in terms of like, you know, his commitment, and that's just something that's been levelled at him. That's not me, you know, I don't necessarily believe that, but that's what we're led to believe. And if you dropped for the game at Anfield, which is
what happened when Mourinho went, he was left out that time, weren't he? And well, arguably Mourinho lost his job not on the back of dropping Paul Pogba, but certainly on the back of a mistreatment of Paul Pogba and just losing the dressing room, really. But yeah, I can't see history repeating itself in that sort of way. I mean, if Pogba doesn't start, I think it'll be much more of a cordial,
like, yeah, no, obviously, yeah, but I just think
team effort thing rather than it being a big drama.
He'll want to play.
Don't mean there's no room for him though, does it?
No, of course
just,
not.
Just means that he might get, depending on how the game goes, he could play half an hour at the end.
Well, that's what he, against PSG away.
Could be very impactful off the bench though, couldn't he?
Yeah, he came on last half an hour or something like that, weren't it? And made an impact, and maybe Solskjaer reserves him for that sort of impact, possibly. But what are we happy with on Sunday? I mean, we're top. Obviously, a draw keeps us top. A win puts us 6 points clear. It's obviously essentially a six-pointer in this respect. Obviously, a defeat puts us back in second because of Liverpool's goal difference. But I can't see him going there and playing for a draw.
No, I don't think he's going to. We need to go for the win. So,
if there's any time to go for the win against Liverpool, I think when they've got some of the best defenders out and have maybe lacked a little bit of confidence, or maybe they've felt the pressure of someone breathing down their neck the last few weeks because they have stuttered.
Well, there was an awful stat, weren't there, from Liverpool's last game where Trent gave the ball away 38 times?
Yeah, some of it.
In one game. And that's Trent. And we know how good, well, defensive wise, he's not fantastic, but going forward, but you shouldn't be losing the ball that much. So you've got people like him who are low on confidence.
Mm.
I think Ollie would be stupid not to go for the win for this. And personally, I'd rather he'd do that. And if we don't win, we don't win. But if we go there and try and win and go out with the intent to score more than them than they do, I'll be happy with it, even if we don't win.
Yeah, I can't see us getting... I don't think we were embarrassed last year, even though with the team we put out with. I mean, we were under the cosh a lot, especially in the last couple of times we've been to Anfield. We've been under the cosh a lot, and it could have been a lot more for Liverpool on those occasions, but I can't see it being quite the same as that with the form and the squad and the confidence that United have got, plus the fact that they're top of the league and have that sort of mentality of not looking up at them anymore and having something to protect. So hopefully, you know, we can, like you say, go there with a bit of confidence, go there and try and get a win, and we'll really see where we're at, really. Any last thoughts on the Liverpool game, James, before we head off?
Well, I think you've got to go for the win. And, oh, imagine. Starting to imagine it.
All the people.
Because then it starts to feel, just living for Sunday. You know,
We've got a few days to enjoy now, where no one can knock us off top of the league. So let's just enjoy it for a few days. Get excited if you want to get excited. And, true Rio Ferdinand style. United are back.
Yeah, man.
Give him a 5-year contract, etc., etc.
All 5-year contracts. Yeah. Everyone.
Everybody.
In true Neville style, at this moment in time, we we're back at this moment in time.
We are back at this moment in
time. Although, is he going to be posing tonight with a bottle of champagne in his bathroom as usual?
Probably some banter with Carragher on, Instagram.
I hope he gets messed up.
That boy owns too much champagne.
Yeah, well, I was going to say he's wadded, but maybe he's not as wadded anymore with the but, that's going on. But anyway, that's a different...
He does save a lot of money because he has the greenest house. In England.
He lives in the Teletubby thing, doesn't he?
You don't know this. His house is like self-sufficient. Like, it's one of the greenest houses you can get.
Right. He lives on Tubby Toast and Custard.
Yep.
I have seen them fucking planning permission plans that he had for, like, we had a house under the hills or something. Yeah. Absolute Teletubbies come to play, that, weren't it?
Who do you reckon the son is? Is it Fergie?
No, Dipsy.
To be fair, I constantly have the Teletubbies theme in my head because my daughter watches it, and it's obviously it's been redone recently, so I'm just constantly got the dun 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 dun, dun. Just the obviously you don't watch Teletubbies.
That doesn't sound like Teletubbies. That sounds like a crime drama. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Matt said, "Who do you think the sun is?" I thought,
"Yeah, as in the sun in the sky, Teletubbies."
Oh,
the babby,
Baba.
Yeah,
Authority Baba.
Meme of Danny Welbeck being the son.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So. Oh, might be Danny Welbeck then.
Well, you need to watch more Teletubby to find out, don't you? Anyway.
Clearly.
We're going to...
Teletubby bye-bye.
It is time for
Teletubby bye-bye.
It is time for Teletubby bye-bye. Oh, so we will definitely... I lied to you last time. We didn't do a podcast after the Watford game because you know what? It just didn't feel worth it.
No.
And we thought we'd save our Teletubby banter for you for tonight. So we will... Definitely win, draw, or lose, be recording after the Liverpool game. So we will see you then. I have been Simon for the Devil's Trident podcast. He has been Matthew.
I've been Lala.
And James has been Poe.
I've been Nolly Gunner. Tonight was totally fantastic. We played well. See you later, guys. I've been James as well.
See you later, guys. Thank you.